Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, here for another horrible Halloween installment. Here with Jack Estabrook.
Rise, Beelzebub and Leviathan. Rise, rise.
Cody Wolf.
I think we should all hit the showers after this, guys.
Brian Mueller.
Get that asshole, get him!
And the man who brought this movie to all of our attention, yes. Andy Wolf.
Yes, I have nothing other than high.
Nothing other than high.
That's all I got.
That's great.
I can't top you guys.
Great stuff.
I mean, we weren't really working with anything too spectacular.
Our movie this week is Fear No Evil. We're sort of bending our rule where we usually find big budget movies the funniest to make fun of. We usually bend this rule, and as Cody pointed out, we usually bend it in October for horror movies. Yeah. But this movie is kind of special. I watched this years ago. Andy Wolf brought to me, he said, you've got to watch this movie. It's shot at Bolt Castle, which is near where we live in upstate New York. And he's like, it's really good. I really like watching it. You said something like, I like watching it.
You do like watching it. You watch it a lot.
Or something like, I won't put words in your mouth. How would you describe this movie to people?
You just said you were going to bring it home and watch it again.
Because it's got Bolt Castle, and I was just there yesterday.
But how do you describe the overall film? Because when you pitched it to me, you did pitch it as part of it shot at Bolt Castle, and you should see it for that reason. But there's something, like, I think you told me you liked the atmosphere of it, didn't you?
That's shocking.
God, the big A again.
I don't remember saying that, but it does have a good atmosphere.
I don't remember saying that, but I agree with it.
I don't remember saying it, but I will say it right now.
I like the Bolt Castle stuff, the location and the... You know, in the end, all this stupid, crazy shit going on.
Okay. Dude, the end was the worst part.
Come on, it was the best part.
The first act was the best part.
I remember seeing this and not being prepared for how totally crazy it is.
This is like a left cross. You're not expecting it. I was duped into watching this by Andy as well.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed the experience because it was so horrifically bad that I just laughed my ass off.
It is funny. It is and
they have novelized it too, by the way. There was a paperback out shortly after this.
I can imagine that's a long paperback.
That was fine off the shelf.
What year is this from? Like 1981, I think.
80 or 81, yeah.
80 or 81. Okay. Yeah.
Actually, for a locally produced film,
but it
does
place
have
like,
some budget. Like they got the rights to a lot of pop
songs. Shot it on 35mm. Yeah.
They shot it on actual film. There's a lot of special effects in it.
This was theatrically released, I believe. Right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's Avico Embassy.
Yeah,
like you say that like it's.
Well, I mean,
of course,
it's like you know,
it's a company you never heard of.
Back then, used to like distribute some, low budget stuff and get in theaters.
Yeah, it's so nuts.
It has an orchestral score.
I think
that
more
some money.
Probably more than any other movie we've done. This is maybe the hardest one to find. It isn't really available anywhere except
Spookies
for DVD.
Spookies would be harder to find in this.
Spookies
not even on DVD. I don't think.
That's true. Well, we were
there's
able to,
bootlegs of Spookies.
Yeah, there was a lot of bootlegs of Spookies. But,
yeah, that's what mine was.
Yeah,
this one. This is Anchor Bay.
I actually got this with Christmas gift card.
Okay,
that's a really random note to put on this,
that's
but okay.
Interesting stuff, Andy.
Yeah, great story.
I'm drinking a Pepsi. I watched it.
I don't know where to go from there. That's
Christmas. I'm going to get Fear No Evil.
Yeah,
you do like
the reason
this
I did.
Movie.
No, the reason I did is because. I was up north doing this shooting at work, trying to disguise what I do for a living, I guess. And one of the guys,
you're doing a hell of a job,
Steve Weed up there up in Watertown, said, "Oh, they shot a movie over there," and he ran security or something at night when they left equipment at Bolt Castle, and he told me about it, and I was like, "Oh, it's interesting. It's a local, shot locally," so I bought it.
But you do like it. Like,
I don't.
Watch it regularly.
I don't not like it.
You did buy it with a Christmas gift card.
That's what I'm saying.
The trial of Andy Wolf.
I think they did some things decent.
Okay. All right. We'll get into it. But the point I was trying to make in saying that it's possible that people haven't been able to see it. So we're going to be very careful as we go through, being sensitive that we're also going to take you through the plot, knowing a lot of people will not have been able to see
this
movie.
I think we
should do the spoiler alert, basically.
I think we should do the whole podcast, like when they're assigning the book, the baby book. Where we just say random words to each other.
I really like that game.
Oil crisis.
I
really like that chicken soup.
So the movie starts off with a bunch of gobbledygook. I just have notes here that's just like Lucifer, something, something.
I missed this. I watched the beginning of this twice, and I missed it both times.
Angels,
I'd have somebody else
something.
Describe what was happening in the movie to me halfway through the movie, because I was like, I don't know what's happening.
I got it. I
didn't.
It's basically like
kind of like a kind of like
reborn, and
it's kind of like a prophecy situation where angels are born on Earth.
Yeah, and to just kind of skip, it's like Lucifer's reborn, angels are fighting him, but they take a mountain of text
angel,
to do
but
that.
One angel didn't come for some reason.
Well, I think the idea is every generation.
Did the angel ever come, though?
Every generation, the devil's reborn.
Did the angel
on Earth,
ever come?
And every generation, the three angels who are like the bounty hunters assigned to catch him are also reborn. And the hope is that eventually they'll all be born in the same generation so that they can meet up and it'll be a 3-on-1.
What's
and
a stupid plan?
Him.
That's a dumb plan.
Why get would, that from that intro.
Why would God have
that? That's the plot of the movie, isn't it? The three reborn angels are trying to assemble.
But
why,
I'm just impressed that you know. I'm not arguing. I'm just impressed you got that from.
What a damn dumb plan. They have to be born randomly.
I know. Might,
okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hit that. It's my, you know.
We'll have to turn
it's
this podcast
like,
around.
You know, okay, you're all three going to be born this year at least, so you can meet, but they just.
In the opening of the movie,
It's very confusing.
I guess we're getting too in-depth, sorry.
Yeah. All right, so the movie starts off with a priest arriving in a rowboat at what we know as Bolt Castle in northern New York.
In the movie, they give it a different name.
They call it something else, yeah.
It's like the such and such mansion or something. There's an awful lot of lightning behind it.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called. It was like the Bentley Castle or something. Yeah.
Something like that. And he's chasing around a demon wearing khakis.
He's shirtless with like
shirtless and khakis and sharp teeth. And there's sort of like it's a great it reminds me of like the Cold Light of Day situation where you're like, are you chasing him or is he chasing you? Because
like
it varies from shot to shot.
Well, it's a cat and mouse thing.
The way it was staged, it reminded me of like seeing an actual stage play where like you see like at one point the priest is on the ground floor outside the castle and he looks up and the devil guy is like on the balcony.
Right.
And then he runs in the room, and then the priest runs in the room, and the next shot, like, they're both outside on the ground. It's like, okay.
There's no spatial.
Are you really trying to hide if you come up to the window and go, yeah? Are you really trying to hide from the guy? I don't.
Yeah, I was confused as to what either of their motivations
were. Right, another thing. I'm way fast forwarding now, but at the climax of the film.
Okay, we're there. Okay.
We really are.
Thanks for joining us this week.
this sequence is called back, but this time the devil has an army of zombies at his beck and call. Why doesn't he use them in this scene in the beginning of the movie?
That's what he was shouting about at the balcony. He's like,
yeah. Well, here's my other question. What powers does the Lucifer character have in this beginning scene?
He can transform into a random teenage girl
for some,
and
yeah.
beg for mercy. Yeah.
But there's no...
Like, and then he can throw the thing at him.
He can do telekinesis, where he can move the silver cross without touching it.
Like, how is this priest? So how is this old, like this elderly priest, a threat to like a seemingly
he
a
has
young
the staff
guy
because
in white?
Because he's Mikhail, the resurrected angel of the Lord.
Well, he has that staff that glows.
Well, the whole thing's weird because he stops up against a tree and turns around and like what he's
now
disarmed
he's,
now he can't do anything.
He's
Lucifer?
Cornered now.
I don't know.
He's like, I will be reborn, and he grabs.
Can he bring
the
priest to life?
The priest seems more surprised that he's caught Lucifer than Lucifer is.
All right.
He seems to be like, all right.
I got a stitch. Time out.
Yeah.
I thought the devil like wanted the priest because he kept like every time like they would run, he would strike like a sultry pose against the wall.
There's a lot of posing. Yes.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It's like something out of a Fosse musical the way he was posing.
Da-da-da. Runs down the hall. He stops, turns, looks.
I know. Wow.
What's that?
Come and get me.
And when Lucifer says the priest, he's like, I will be reborn. The priest's like, hold on there, young fella. We don't need any trouble.
Like, come with me on the rowboat.
What's going on? So Lucifer then takes this staff that the priest is holding and stabs himself
He carries himself.
Yeah, he pulls it towards him with power.
He does what the guy does at the end of the movie with the knife, and we all know what scene we're talking about. When the devil endows him with certain things, and
also known as Jack's favorite scene.
This is a bizarre.
This is waiting to get to see. This is jumping out again.
This is actually the point of the movie where things may not sound that weird right now. They're going to go downhill fast. This is the part of the movie that makes the most sense, and we're talking about a guy in khakis running around posing like he's in a Bob Fosse musical.
Wait, so why did? Yeah, it's just like,
you're going to be saying that a lot.
Why did the devil kill himself?
I think it's because... I think it was to discredit the priest, because later on the priest goes to jail.
Because the priest was going to destroy Lucifer altogether, so he just killed his mortal body so he could be reborn.
The other two angels weren't there.
Do they have to be there?
Well, I thought they did, which makes no sense.
So why did the priest go there on his own?
There's only two of them.
Through the whole movie, they keep saying...
The priest went up on a rowboat.
Mikhaila will come, whatever the hell her name was.
I'm just here to do a little reconnaissance. I just want to scope things out. We'll take a look. My friends will be by... he stabbed himself. We're all set.
We're good.
Yeah. So it's like, okay.
And what did this priest who ended up going to jail, what did he turn himself in? He's the only one on the island. Why didn't he just bury the devil's body?
Was the devil hoping like the next time he was reborn, instead of an 85-year-old priest hunting him, it'd be like a 110-year-old or something? Like,
and Jack raises a great point. We find out later on that this priest was tried for murder of this person who is Lucifer. I would love to see this trial. Where is that legal drama? That would be very interesting, you know?
Well, actually, let me explain this. I'm actually an angel, and he was making all kinds of weird faces and pointing teeth. Look, he stabbed it. You know what? Forget it. I plead guilty.
Not even Johnny Cochran. Yeah. Get him off.
I didn't want any trouble.
Yeah. I was just trying to get the early bird special.
I guess this is where we got our scene setter, where we're in upstate New York and it's the 1960s.
We get a very literal scene setter of just a long camera dolly, which I thought was a dolly, or maybe still a dolly.
I think it's a steady cam.
I think it's a not so steady cam.
It is terrible steady cam work. I mean, like, we're going to get a little inside baseball, but Andy, as you know, and Jack and Cody and Brian, if you're doing handheld work in general, moving side to side is the worst thing you can do. If you're handheld, you generally want to be moving forward or backwards that you can.
Yeah.
And this is just the longest side-to-side walking of a guy with a camera going past a party. A party that is virtually meaningless in the scope of the story.
Yeah.
Except for the great scene where...
Hey, I got a baby!
I do have to mention one thing, though. They clearly set this up as part of their, like, opening... it's the opening title credits are playing under this, but the shot doesn't go long enough. So as it's coming down, they start slow-moing it, and then they have to super slow-mo it, and then they have to freeze-frame it. But they're freeze-framing it on nothing. There's no, like...
And one of the guys is mid, like, crouch or something in the freeze-frame. I'm like, I thought that meant something.
This
guy bowing down
to someone? It would have made more sense to put the credits over the opening fight, like the chase scene.
Or it would have made more sense to speed up the credits rather than slow down the video. Why would you? So, such a strange choice. Okay, and then, so we find out it's a party.
Baptism.
It's a baptism.
It's a baptism party.
Pre-party. Pre-game and baptism.
Yeah.
And what?
It's
a pre-party. Yes, even a pre-party. It's not
It's this really large family. Everyone's there, and everyone's dressed up nice, and the guy's really proud. He's smoking a cigar. Oh, my son. I got a son, you know?
I know we've already alluded to this, but it has to be some of the worst, like, murmuring ever in a movie.
I know.
Yeah.
Like the part where he's, like, filling out the little, like, sheet about, like, what day it is and when his son's getting baptized. Like, they actually aren't saying words.
No, it's going.
I'm like, why is there this much, like, I guess what we would call rabble-rousing when he's just filling out a sheet for the day that his son is being baptized? It's not like he's, like, putting $100 on the big game or, like, they're doing something that would, you know, cause excitement. Like, he's just filling out a sheet what day his son's getting baptized.
And Andy's right. It's like, nonsense going, hey,
from 1920s. Every now and then they shoot in a word, though. I think we should do the rest of the podcast like that.
Well, now somebody, martinis. It's like they're all doing a Jimmy Stewart impression, like if Jimmy Stewart like had a stroke and couldn't enunciate.
Yeah. Well, and I love the actor who plays the dad, because this guy takes every choice to the wall. I mean, so broad. Plays it. I mean, this has to be a theatrical actor who they brought in and who had no idea of, like, film acting, because everything is being played for the last row, you know? Everything's super broad. Yeah. So
there were probably a lot of people in the last row at the theater. So many people were packed in the seat.
I'm looking at that one.
Well, because they go to the baptism and somehow.
Well, I love how, but they show the mother with the baby first, too. Yeah. And she looks like she's like friggin' 72 already.
I know.
They got this big scarf covering her neck because she's probably all wrinkled.
I thought that was the grandma.
You could tell they weren't trying to show her.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
They were trying like, not to show her too
they,
much.
They like soften the focus a little bit. Got a little soft light.
That's what happens when you have a baby too late in life. It ends up being the devil.
Well, the dad also looks like he's 70.
That's why everyone's surprised and murmuring, because this is a miracle that this 60-year-old couple conceived a child.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is
probably made the local papers.
They cornered the market on like elderly upstate New York actors when they cast this.
So the baby knows it's going to be going to get baptized. It's already getting cranky.
Because the devil knows. I don't want to be baptized.
So
And then they go to the baptism. They get there. Blood starts flying.
Typical blood split.
That poor kid. The blood really starts flying.
Yeah. You see that kid got hit in the eye?
He took that like a champ.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I know.
Damn.
And the dad, like, I don't know what kind of blocking or instruction he was given, but he just stands there like, Marilyn!
It's funny because there's blood all over the place. She takes the baby and everybody just kind of stands
Everyone's just standing around.
Wow.
There's a bunch of people like, blood. So is this canceled then? What's the deal? Is this over?
And there are people bleeding too.
Yeah.
And everyone's still just standing around.
Yeah.
Maybe one thing if just the baby was bleeding, but
like nobody. Like, here's the thing. I think is the idea here that their first thought, the clergy, is, "My God, it's a demon baby," because otherwise, wouldn't you think someone would say, "Oh my God, the baby's bleeding. Call an ambulance."
Right. I have no idea what that priest character was thinking. Not the elderly priest.
No, there's a second priest character.
Later middle-aged priest. I have no idea what he was thinking at any point in the movie. It's never clear what his motivation is any scene that he appears in.
No.
Yeah. And then, like I said, then the father just stands there and just yells, "Marilyn!" over and over again.
And he like runs out of the
Marilyn!
The blood is coming from such weird places too. Like on the baby, it just comes out of like the middle of its bicep.
Yeah.
And then another person is just like dripping blood from their head.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even dripping, I should say. It's like flowing
a
river.
It's supposed to be like the stigmata, bro.
But at times it's like a stigmata.
It's a super stigmata.
Yeah.
A super soaker.
It's like stigmata, like to the 100th power.
So now they had to establish they needed to do a passage of time.
I actually, wasn't that bad. If anything could be complimented about this movie, I thought there was some creativity in the way they did this scene.
Yeah.
Just this one scene.
Instead of a black text and saying, you know, 18 years later.
They kind of show the house, and
they show the house deteriorate, which
and
is
you get voices.
I mean, it was really deteriorating.
Really deteriorated.
I Frankenstein apartment deteriorating.
Yeah. Then during the middle of it, he's asking for sex from her, basically. Why don't you pay some attention to me?
I have needs, Marilyn.
I have needs.
Yeah.
Hand job, something.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, I thought
do a strip tease for me.
I thought when you first were going to see them again, like, one of them was going to be dead or they were going to be divorced. Because, like, at one point she's like, I'm tired of your inadequacies.
Oh, my God. Because we're just here. By the way, we should mention, this is all just ADR. You're just seeing the outside of the house as it deteriorates and this, like, crazy radio drama play.
And
like,
the idea, I think, is that the devil baby is ensuing them to be, to be angry and evil all the time.
So, and are we supposed to think that in the 18 years as this kid's growing up, like, they're not leaving the house? Because, like, the house looks like it just, like, hasn't even been, you know, paid attention to at all 18 years.
Yeah, one of the windows is boarded up for, like, the whole 18 years.
But the inside looks totally normal.
That's what I was
going to
say. Yeah. And then when you see the inside, it looks fine.
Yeah, nothing looks out of place, really.
And now this also begins something that it really confused me about this movie, because we're getting into the birthday scene. And we're introduced to the kid whose name is
Andrew.
And Andrew is a teenager. And the first scene he's in, is he? I don't know. He looks like a 35-year-old teenager. But in the opening scene, he closes a book without touching it. He's already displaying this devil power of the telekinesis. But they imply kind of, in the way the actor plays it,
that he's
Peter Pan.
Does
he know he's the devil? Is he aware of it? Or is it like, he wants to be a normal kid, but he has this unknown power, and he's upset that evil things are happening, and then eventually he embraces it.
Andy and I argued this for about 30 minutes one day, and we determined neither of us were right, and neither of us were wrong.
The birthday scene establishes this.
In that first scene, he's invisible. He's a shadow. He travels around as a shadow, so, I mean, clearly he knows.
We didn't see you come down, son. You made a good cake, Marilyn.
And then,
the parents look about the same, by the way. Just
they
a little more gray.
A little more gray.
A little more gray.
And
And you do get a couple of interesting, the one compliment I'll pay this movie is a couple of interesting practical effects they do. They do a practical effect where the kid is a shadow,
the
moves
book
past
closes
his
on
dad,
its own.
The book closes its own. The kid blows out all of the other candles on
good.
His cake, but one
candle
one actually
stays lit.
One actually relights,
yep.
which yeah. was pretty well done. So,
and that's when the lights go off.
The lights go off. This is the scene that Andy and I have talked about for years since I saw this movie.
You're right.
Why he needs the cake.
The lights go off. I wrote this down like play by play of a game.
I love this.
The dad that says, "Marilyn, will you hand me the cake to use as a light?"
He's using a birthday. I didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah. Oh, is that what he was doing?
He yes. couldn't find
I thought
a flashlight.
He was going to rewrite a flashlight with a birthday
He's
cake.
He's looking for a flashlight using a lit birthday cake as a light source.
We couldn't have just used one of the
I
matches.
I thought he was going to relight the candles.
No.
No, he wanted to use it as a light.
Cake to look for a flashlight. Yeah.
I heard Marilyn, I can't
that
see.
Line where,
bring
oh
me the cake.
God.
Marilyn,
it's a light source.
Would you hand me that cake? I need to use it for a
I've
light.
I've got several cakes around my house just in
so
case.
So rather than just taking the candle off the cake.
Yeah. When the power goes out, I have to bake a whole cake.
He takes the entire cake.
Just to find a flashlight. Yeah.
With one candle on it.
The light's out. I hope I have flour.
Yeah. The wife then, as he's like, oh, I gotta. The wife goes to hand him the cake, and it's not like either of them drops it. I don't even know how to describe this. It's just sort of like they forcibly
it was like both of them were trying to drop it equally.
Yeah,
and that was great. It's on the ground, and for some reason they're trying to pick it up like it's salvageable.
Yeah,
and they're just mashing it in their hands. Yeah. I'm sorry, Marilyn.
Let me make this right.
You ruined the cake.
You ruined everything.
Fist fight breaks out.
She gets
on
hit
the
by
carpet.
An iron, and iron yeah. falls off the shelf and
oh,
hits her in the
leg. Oh God!
Yeah.
Well, this is nuts. If she's on the ground, and this
she's out there. Wait, all he did was push her.
Yeah, he didn't even really hit her.
Slowly fell to the floor, and all of a sudden she's paralyzed.
Yeah, she's
and
been
she's like
lying
reaching
on
for.
She
the,
is like 85 years old.
And she's reaching for the table leg to
she's
pull her up.
She has to get a birthday candle.
And there's a loose, like just an iron sitting on it. And like,
and she grabbed the fishing wire that was on the
yeah.
iron.
Yeah. It was a very
that's why you don't put fishing line on iron.
No, you don't.
And an iron
idea.
Hits her on the head. Like
at which
Looney
point I thought
style.
She's dead.
It's like an Acme iron hits her on the head.
She even has the iron impression, like a Daniel Stern in Home Alone style
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, oh, I wish that we had camera because I'd do the impression from here of him.
Who are you? Who are you?
Shaking his cake-filled
wow.
fist.
Like, what did the kid do?
To which point I want to be like, I'm not the one who used the cake as a light source. And
pushed my wife into the TV.
Into a TV where she then caused an iron to hit her own head. He's like, I'm Lucifer, and I didn't even do that. You did that.
It's like a Rube Goldberg device. It's gone horribly wrong.
I couldn't have even made that happen. Yeah.
Wait, I'm still confused about this cake.
I did not
realize that.
Yeah.
What was he trying to see?
He's trying to find
he's
a flashlight.
He's trying to
find a flashlight.
The lights go out. He tries to open. He opens the drawer. I'm going to get a flashlight. He goes digging for it and says, I can't find it. Marilyn, hand me that cake. That is absolutely
why wouldn't he just take the candle?
Right.
I don't know.
Or light a match.
The matches that the kid used to light, yeah.
Yeah, or anything
or maybe
other
use his own eyes because it really
large,
wasn't that dark in the room.
A large pastry that he's carrying around to look at things with.
I want to do a movie where someone's like.
I've got to read that book. Bring that cake
I
over here.
I
want to
do a movie where like some old dude in like the 1800s, like Ebenezer Scrooge, just like searching his house looking for Jacob Marley, and he's holding a cupcake with a candle on it.
Yeah.
He just goes around everywhere with a cake whenever it's dark.
So, all right, so now we go to the high school.
Yes.
We meet the...
Tell me why I don't like
Mondays. I don't
like
Mondays.
What is this song?
It's a song about a shooting in a school.
Is it?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
It's about,
it
yeah.
is.
Boomtown Rats. Yeah, it's an old one.
Okay.
Yep. Just, but they had money to get the rights to these.
They did. That actually shows...
Boomtown Rats and
the Sex Pistols.
Sex Pistols.
Yeah. Yep. There's some interesting, Ramones. Though very
yep.
dated music.
Well, I thought at first, like...
But it's expensive to get the rights to do music in a movie.
It looked for a while like they were setting the tone that, like, every scene was going to have a song with it. Because there was,
know,
like, three scenes in a row with a different song. I'm like, oh,
know,
God.
And they were all, like, laying it on pretty thick. Because you get the song. The first song is about the I Don't Like Mondays. It's about a school shooting. The second song, he literally, he says, I am the Antichrist. And as they show the kid, like, looming over the parking lot.
Yeah.
So we meet our cast of characters who are cast of high school characters.
High school.
Quotation fingers.
But this is a, like very ripped off of Welcome Back, Kotter, seemingly, in many ways. In having actors who are
Vinnie
way
Barberino
too old.
In there.
That he is, one kid is clearly playing Vinnie Barberino.
Yeah, he's very androgynous. You got this 1950s gang, they got a grease thing going on. You got these chicks who have this grease thing going.
I
kind of look at him like, wait a minute.
Well, that's your own problem.
Well, let's.
Do I like this?
That's why you like the shower scene later on.
It's a little troubling. But, and let's bring this up. So they bring up that we get to meet these kids who are all failing their papers except for Lucifer, who does a great job.
Yeah.
But this Vinnie Barberino character says he's laughing and he calls out his teacher for sleeping with like a 20-year-old chick. Now, if I were a 45-50-year-old social studies teacher and I had like a good-looking 20-year-old girlfriend, that wouldn't exactly be an insult.
Also, if
he could have said, you know,
Jack would be flaunting it.
Read it and weep, losers.
Also, if I was the writer of the script, I would have brought that back at some point.
That never came back.
Yeah. Yep.
Didn't everyone? No. I kept thinking
I was
going
to
come back.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
You know, and I was like nope. You know, just a random insult from Vinnie or attempted insult that might be a compliment from Vinnie Barberino. Yeah.
Yep. And Vinnie Barberino is supposed to be the hot guy. He's got like the ugliest chick of the whole freaking school.
He's supposed to be this badass.
It's like Rosanna Dana.
The social studies guy's banging a hotter girl than he is.
I know. Right?
I know. That, the social studies guy should have been
overweight.
Like, yeah. Like, hey, I've seen your girlfriend, dude. Yeah.
And then and don't they get it on in the boiler room next? And then
you're jumping ahead. Yeah.
There's a scene we have to talk about because we talk about his girlfriend who's wearing these like.
It's like Grease. They've got like these 1950s, like, we had a gang in school kind of thing.
And there's this bizarre scene at this girl's locker where she opens her locker.
They're arguing over the mirror.
And they get into an argument over the mirror, and then the Vinnie Barberino's girlfriend's like, hey, it's my locker, and slams the door, hits another girl's head with the locker really hard, like inappropriate.
And then an iron fell off and hit her in the head.
Not again. I watched that scene and I was like, oh,
Marion! There's a lot of concussions in this movie, especially in the gym.
Oh. This locker's dark. Get me a cake.
I was concerned for that girl's health. We're going to get to that.
I love that scene so much.
We're going to get to that scene.
I love that scene so much.
Okay, so then Jack's right. Vinnie Barberino and his girlfriend.
They like get it on in the boiler room.
It's like the weirdest, shortest, strangest sex scene like in any horror movie ever. It's like he chases her into the boiler room, and he's like chasing her or whatever.
Wait, we should do it too. Literally, like chases her
yeah,
like
exactly like a monster. Yeah,
yeah.
I thought it was a callback to the first scene.
And then it cuts away. Yeah. And then it cuts away to someone like breaking into his car out in the parking lot, and then it cuts back, and you just. It's like just a shot of the boiler room, and you can hear him having sex. Like, for like 2 seconds.
Yeah,
and it cuts away again. And then it cuts back, and he's like, all right, let's get back to whatever
he's putting
doing.
Her top on.
Yeah, yeah. I was like,
and he insults her.
Okay.
And then he slaps her.
But this is the beginning.
Well, that's later.
That's one scene later.
He slaps his women after
this
he sex
This is the beginning them. Of male nudity throughout this whole thing, because it's a
full
horror movie.
Frontal.
Horror movie. I think you see one breast shot.
In that scene.
17 male ass shots.
Well, technically, the second breast shot is a male breast shot, technically.
Right.
So Vinnie Barberino and his girlfriend come out to his car.
Well, that's funny. Just technical thing. It's a wicked jump cut because he comes out. And she's already out there standing next to the car. It's a really bad jump cut.
The continuity there is awful.
Yeah, I don't know where he was.
Yeah, I know.
And his friend is in the car. His friend who we saw like breaking into the car to get in. And Vinnie Barberino's like, hey, Woody, how'd you get in the car? And his friend, who seemed totally unprepared for this question,
nervous. Like,
as a guy who broke into the car, you'd think he might be ready for this question. He's like, the door was open. And so Vinnie Barberino's like, oh, all right, well, that adds up. Slaps his girlfriend so hard. So hard.
Damn.
Yeah,
this guy's a douche.
Danger. Again, I was like, are you kidding me, movie? Like, the violence in this is just really
And once
troubling.
Again, that went nowhere.
No, that went nowhere. That
I guess
had
it's
nothing
just
to
just
do.
Establishing
he's a douche.
Yeah, he's a douche, and you can't wait for him to be killed. I guess that's about the
but
whole thing.
But it doesn't really ever, like, in the end, when he gets killed, it's like, oh.
I know.
It wasn't like some huge, like, come up.
It was a letdown, except for what happened right before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When the end comes, you're kind of like, wow, that's unsuspenseful.
Right.
And then we were introduced to our other main character is, of course, the virtuous smart girl.
I'm going to question.
And she's in the classroom.
She's going to question her smartness.
Well, I'm also going to question her status as main because I'm not sure she really has any dialogue.
Yeah, there's no real lead. Well, I guess. She's important to the plot without being like having a lot of dialogue. Yeah.
She's the hero girl, though no one associated with the movie trusted her to speak.
It's like if Jamie
lines.
Lee Curtis came in the last 5 minutes of Halloween.
Or and never
or was
said
in Halloween
anything.
And didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Didn't have an idea what was going on.
Well, and can we talk? We get this weird scene that comes up too, where Lucifer's dad meets. There's just a scene that made no
that?
Sense.
They're introducing
to me.
Just, another character.
Yeah, he drives up
He's
on
a
tricycle.
He's on a tricycle.
He's a mailman on a tricycle.
This is freaking 1980. I mean, come on.
I know. He drives up to an old woman's house.
She's gardening.
They literally talk about nothing, just nonsense speak about, like, children, leaves, grades, like...
Well, they're talking about the father, too, right? The old priest?
I guess so.
Well, yeah. they reference him. They say, your brother was a good man.
He was a good man.
You shouldn't be ashamed of him, implying when he went to jail for murdering the devil at the beginning of the movie.
As an audience member, though, I just have notes here. I'm like,
it just sounds so ridiculous.
You're accused of murdering the devil.
Humbly you. Yeah. Not
he may be the devil, but he has rights too.
What say you to this charge? Well, I'm just an old man. I don't think I've really done anything wrong.
Come on, I'm just the devil. Come on.
The state calls the devil to the stand.
Have you met my lawyer, Perry Mason?
No.
Dun dun dun.
Please place your right hand on the Bible. I'd rather not.
Yeah. I've seen this movie twice, and even as I watched it this time, I didn't understand as I was watching it who this old woman was.
She's one of the angels.
Yeah. Well, I do now.
She's the brother.
She's the apparently in this generation, conveniently enough, two of the three angels were reborn as brother and sister, and both of whom were highly religious, by coincidence.
Okay.
So she is the sister.
The failed plan. I don't know.
This plan makes no sense.
Where was she though? Where was she when he was fighting?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Well, and doesn't it have to be three of them? Because at the end of the movie,
right,
it's just two
saying,
of them.
Right, they keep saying.
And then they imply that he's there, like, in spirit. It's like, that's a cop-out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay here, Margaret. Keep the car warm.
I'll just be a paddle boat away.
Yeah. So, okay. So, yeah, there's something there where we know this old, they're cornering the market on elderly actors. This old woman has something to do with something, but we don't know what yet. And... Now, I'm trying to think where we can go next.
What about that flashback where they show the sister flashing back to the priest? It looks like he's in a dungeon from, like, the medieval
times. He's in the Bastille.
What kind
of prison did they send him to?
They're in Bolt Castle going, okay, we'll use this for a room, because obviously they're still in Bolt Castle.
The guy's lying, like, face down on, like, a stone floor.
And he's wearing, like, this
guy's,
like,
dressed like a medieval executioner.
Yeah. He's like, eat.
Like, good lord.
Stepping on his hand and shit.
Yeah. That did
Time jump.
That did seem harsh.
That scene was the first scene shot back when they wanted to make the movie medieval, and then they decided they didn't have the budget, but the scene was still... They spent the money shooting it, so they decided to throw it in.
My God, like, I know, like, technically he murdered someone, but he murdered the devil. Like, I feel like that's a mitigating factor.
Actually, the devil killed himself, and he was just there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So technically he didn't do
it. Well, I know, I just mean, you know, from society, society's view,
society's
legal system, he just killed the devil.
Yeah. I wonder what Nancy Grace had to say about that
favor.
Trial.
Oh, Nancy. That's a movie. Nancy Grace commenting on that trial. Well, let's jump ahead to the... When we think of 1980s horror films... 80s horror films with high school characters and a locker room scene. What do we all think
is
of?
Is that coming up now?
Yeah.
Is that before the gym?
It's before the dodgeball.
It's before the Oscar clip.
Well, I don't know about you, but I've done this plenty of times. I'm in the shower with the guys.
Yeah.
And I'm on practical joke. I'm like, hey, Cody, kiss me. Kiss me. This would be fun. This is funny.
Except
you don't do that.
You don't
rub yourself up against the.
I was rubbing his nipples like the whole time too. He's like,
hey,
kiss me.
Kiss me.
Because Vinny Barbarino's like, hey, watch this prank.
Yeah, prank. Okay.
What?
The one kid's like, hey, Vinny, Andrew looks pretty today.
And then he's like taking it seriously. Like, yeah, he does. Everyone thinks he's just playing along, but really he is. Think that?
So Vinny Barbarino in the shower goes over and kisses Andrew slash Lucifer.
Not just kisses him. He's like,
but who kisses him back? I think Andrew kisses him back to creep him out.
Yeah, I think.
And then we get this bizarre, like, full frontal, like, naked schlongs are flopping. They're tonguing each other in the corner of a shower, and all the other dudes are like, let's get out of here.
Well, no, then Vinny Barbarino's like, hey, keep your mouth shut. Hey, keep your mouth shut about this. I'm like, don't worry, dude. I don't, you know what? Nothing to talk about here. No reason we'd have to be talking to anyone about this. Not weird at all.
Hey, funny prank. Hey, guys, I really got him.
You got something.
I taught him a lesson.
Yeah. Then when Vinny gets up, the actor's hand actually touches his schlong.
Oh, yeah. God, I didn't notice
that. Oh, yeah. So I'm like, oh, that's the worst part of the whole scene.
Because he's like, goes like hold, like grab him, and he like jumps up at the same time.
And it's funny how all the other actors file out of the locker room because like half of them have looks in their face where they're like, look, if you guys are gay, that's all right.
Yeah, that's
like,
fine.
Could we, like...
You don't have to play it off as a prank. Like, you guys can just kiss each other.
Yeah, like, we're
it's
all fine
80s,
with
man.
This.
It's the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all open-minded.
Yep. But no. Yeah. This has become a... I don't know.
I think that's only the second gayest scene, too, I've seen in a long time. in a horror movie from the
80s. What's the first one?
Nightmare on Street 2.
Nightmare on Street, yeah.
When he's, like, strapped up against the guy and getting whipped with towels. Like Freddy.
And this is also
there's
another flashback conversation with the old man priest and his now living sister, where they kind of explain that he was, where you kind of get a little more background on what happened. And I start to realize, I'm like, this is End of Days, not End of Days like the biblical reference, like End of Days, right. Like the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie End of Days. And I'm like, oh God, this is so basically. The young girl who the camera keeps showing close-ups for no apparent reason, I'm like, that girl must be like Robin Tunney or something in End of Days. And then very quickly I'm like, oh no, she's an angel.
Mikhail.
She's the third one that they couldn't find.
Yeah.
And then the priest jumped the gun and tried to kill the devil by himself.
Was she the one they couldn't find?
And he actually succeeded.
I thought she was
the one they were waiting
because
to be born.
they were referring to him as a he, implying that the angels are masculine, but they're mortal bodies.
I thought it was
matter.
The old guy reborn as another.
No, it's the third one.
Because
he kept saying, she'll be born.
Yeah, because
she kept saying that. Every time they said that, I stopped listening.
If all three of them are supposed to exist at the same time, then why, when the priest died, it's logical to assume that she's the priest reborn.
See, I actually thought that she was the priest reborn, too.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but you're right, because the priest isn't actually dead.
He says.
I thought he was dead,
though. He's dead, but he's with them in spirit. This is what makes no sense. They're setting up that all three angels must be there to stop the devil.
Which is why I was confused.
The priest somehow jumped the gun because he was impatient.
This makes no sense. Yeah. This doesn't make it. This actually.
Because he kept saying, where's Mikhail? She'll be born. Like, you have to find her or
this
him or whatever.
This is nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea is their bodies, the genders don't matter. They're just
and the old woman
given.
Seems to be doing nothing. To look for.
No, she's just gardening.
She's just gardening.
Well, not in my garden.
There was no Facebook back then. It was a lot harder.
Not there today again.
Oh, hold on, worm. Are you Mikhail? Nope. Well, check again tomorrow.
The flowers. She's got to make sure the flowers aren't the reborn manifestations of angels.
And if this other angel wasn't born yet, why was he going to kill the devil if this other angel wasn't even in existence yet?
Sense. It does three of them.
Yeah, this makes even. The more we actually talk about this angel plot,
Lucifer, are you Mikhail? Leave me alone.
I'm on Social Security now. All right, so now we're going to go to the other craziest scene in the movie, which is the dodgeball scene.
Yes. Okay, now this scene has a very special. I think a special note in film history. I do believe, now I may be wrong, stop me if I'm wrong, is this the first death by dodgeball scene ever in a movie?
I would have to think so. I would have
first
to.
First and only, maybe.
Maybe. Let's start first. So we're back in the high school, although for some reason there is a kid who appears to be 9 years old in this high school gym class.
And there's a kid who looks like he's about 40 years old.
Yes.
Yeah, to balance it out.
And this is the guy, is the guy who asked our... sort of main character girl to marry him, and they imply that maybe Andrew wants sex with her. So is he like
he
wants? Well, because he handed her the book. He handed her the textbook. There's two scenes where he's like rubbing up against
her in his dream.
He rapes her later.
Yeah, does he know she's an angel, or does he just want her? I don't know.
I don't know.
He thinks she's an angel, but like not in like the biblical sense. Just like
she's an angel. Oh, right.
So he's
just.
Andrew slash choice. Lucifer arrives late at gym class. So the gym teacher has him go off on the side of the gym and do push-ups.
And here we
while
go.
Everyone else starts playing the most intense
death ball, should we call it?
Wow. Yeah.
Was the coach that excited, or was he?
This is what I didn't get.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I think, now this is confusing, because again.
Yes, it is.
Now,
please
don't
take too long. Describe.
Does this kid think he's the devil or not? Because in this scene, it seems to me that he's pissed off. Andrew is the devil. So he is inspiring hatred and violence on the part of all of his classmates, including the coach. He's freaking out and all the kids are getting into
but
it.
He also,
supposed to be violent.
In this,
but
in this
when
scene,
the scene is over, he appears to regret doing this.
Yes.
And he starts crying and pounding the wall, like, why did evil things happen when I'm around? So which is it?
They didn't really explore that too much more, really.
And to talk about this scene, I wish this scene was on YouTube. Maybe it is somewhere. I mean, it is a murderous dodgeball game, and punctuated by them cutting back to the coach, like beat red. Like I mean, like
anger.
Sweat.
Like his veins are sticking out. Yelling,
like, kill him!
Get him!
At one point, he says, "Get that son of a bitch."
He does. Yeah. And I'm like, "Who? And get who? Which one does he want to kill?"
I still don't even know how that one kid died. I mean,
I was gonna say, how did he die?
I don't.
He got pinned in the bleachers with a dodgeball. Yeah. I mean, it was obvious, wasn't it?
I mean, it was.
So I'm saying, so it has to be Andrew who actually.
It was
well because his eyes are turned. I went back and I watched the scene in freeze frame. Okay?
Yeah.
The coach goes, "Get on." The kids are throwing their balls. Then the dodgeballs. Then he runs.
Well, we do have to make that distinction based on the previous
scene. How many
balls
have you seen already? Yeah.
Then Andrew's face comes up and he's normal. Then it cuts back to the dodgeballers. Then his face comes down because he's doing push-ups. He comes back up and his eyes are red and his face is flushed and angry. His teeth are bared.
So do you
then it cuts to the gym teacher who runs out, grabs a dodgeball, and throws it.
He like pushes a kid out of the way too. He's like, "Come over here!"
And then that's when he says, "Kill the son of a bitch." And then again, I had to freeze frame this. They show Andrew's face again, a frame of white, a frame of Andrew's face looking in the other direction.
Right.
Then the actor playing the 40-year-old actor playing the teenager is pinned up against the wall for one frame as if it's like a spike sticking into the bleachers.
Right.
I had to watch this in slow motion to see what this was.
Do you think Andrew / Lucifer somehow gave someone supernatural dodgeball throwing power? Was it still like a human throwing a dodgeball?
Obviously him controlling it, like supernatural.
Okay. I don't know though that the devil was controlling the gym teacher. I think the gym teacher was just insane.
He didn't seem to regret it after the kid was dead though. It wasn't like
"Oh, I don't know what came over me."
Yeah.
I just think that him and the father got together and said, "How do I play this scene?"
Well, because at the end
of it. You want to see it. If an actor's going to play it like this, you want to take
it. You might go off. Yeah. That's how he.
Get off! I want that as my cell phone ringtone.
That is how a Bill Romanowski coach gym class would go.
Yes.
You know that too. In the extras, they have.
Football would have
extras.
Yeah, I do. Because they actually have the behind the scenes.
Oh, my God.
They actually pull the kid to the bleachers with a.
Oh, the rope?
Yeah, they actually pull them back there, and they didn't use it for some reason, because they do these weird white flashes.
Yeah, if you're going to...
I don't know why they cut that, but it might have been more effective if they had that pull
maybe.
Back.
Or maybe
if
they were...
Gonna
I mean, there are other ways to kill a kid in a gym class. Like, he could have had, like, maybe they were doing archery that day. Or
yeah,
maybe...
I was gonna say, if you're going to have a lacrosse ball. A gym class is going to kill a kid, why would you pick dodgeball?
Yeah. You could have fallen off the
I guess,
ropes,
like, somebody said, "You want to be funny?"
That was not funny.
Death by dodgeball? And if you're going to get killed by a dodgeball, if this movie's already over the top, why not just have the dodgeball knock the kid's head off?
Yeah, I don't...
Or go through him.
Or
make a big hole through his chest,
Death
becomes her.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they were going for a PG, but a PG rating is out the window already at this point.
That Orange is the New Black scene kind of threw that out the window.
Yeah. All right, so now they...
also takes place in upstate New York.
Yeah.
Oh, true. That's true. So now we get a funeral
upstate
for
New York.
The...
Know what you're getting into?
Yeah, watch out.
I don't shower in public. I never have.
That's good to know.
I wish we had a camera. I always have.
And he's very proud of that.
Never have.
It's like pooping in public. I won't do it.
You don't poop in public?
Who does?
Poop wait,
all over.
Wait, wait,
what are you talking about?
Who does poop in public?
Well,
like in
public,
a public
like
street,
a public stall. Yeah.
Public.
Not the just stall the is park public? Or something like or, a dog. Yeah,
okay.
And he's just walking in the park. He feels the urge.
Yeah.
I hope you at least bring a scoop when you poop.
But I don't. See, I don't.
Just throw a little sand on it. It'll be fine. Mm.
Do my cats do it. Go. Yeah.
Dig in there.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
All right. So we get a funeral for the kid who was died by a dodgeball.
Yep. And Andrew's standing in the background the whole time.
Quick sidebar. Do you think the coach got charged or something? He ends up in the same prison as the priest.
Imagine that.
No, he was the devil too.
Yeah. I swear it was the devil that made me get him.
We've heard this one before. Yeah.
And then everyone, and then he runs away. I think there was a cut scene where the coach is running away from an angry mob of villagers who were all throwing dodgeballs at him, screaming, "Come on, get him!" And he's like, "No."
Probably the most damning piece of testimony in the trial would have been, "Yeah, I heard the coach say kill the son of a bitch."
There's about 12 witnesses that can attest to this.
That didn't hurt the case too much for the prosecution.
I just figured the coach being like, "I did say that. I meant it figuratively, not literally, but yeah, I regret that now."
Can you please, coach, tell us what happened immediately after you said that? I threw the dodgeball and he was killed.
He did die.
No further questions. Yeah, yeah.
The state rests its case, Your Honor.
All right, so now the young girl who we keep seeing close-ups of, but who I don't even think has spoken to this point in the movie.
There was one scene where she says yes to the kid's proposal, the kid in the sweater.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well,
congratulations. She says yes. She got accepted to college. She said congratulations or something.
Oh, that's right, because her boyfriend got accepted to college.
Oh,
yeah.
when Andrew hands her,
I feel like he touched me or something.
When Andrew hands her her textbook.
Yeah.
Oh, she says,
I feel like he touched him. Touch
me. Which is like a barely audible line that she says.
It's kind of like the murmurs in the opening scene.
What?
So she shows up at the older woman's house.
She's like compelled to go, or is she asked to go?
There is maybe my favorite bit of dialogue. I'm going to do it now with the old woman who's like, "Why are you here?" And the young girl's like, "Well, a man who speaks to me in his dreams. Do you know his name?" You know what? Let's just stop there. There's a man speaking to you in your dreams. You're let's move ahead. Like, there's probably not a lot of people showing up because a man is speaking to their dreams. Yeah. The name of that guy is pretty inconsequential. Yeah.
Most people are going to assume that a dream is, a dream. Let's write it off.
And they're now sort of a buddy cop team, the old woman.
It's a buddy cop movie after this.
Yeah, this sort of becomes like...
Doesn't she like grab and shove her face into the picture or something?
Yeah, she does. She does. She's
after feeding her a quite hearty breakfast and then says she doesn't have a telephone.
She does have quite hearty. There's a great line. That's another amazing line. There's another one. "I don't have a phone. Or a light bulb." What? What are you?
"But I do have a cake."
What are you talking about?
"I use this cake to see."
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody asked for a light bulb.
Where were you in the past?
I don't have a stove, but I cook all my food over a single candle on a cake.
Then she does.
It takes a while to boil water.
So now the younger girl's a little like, "I don't know about this, my new partner here. I think I'm going to get out of here." And the old lady's like, "Look at this picture. Yeah. Is this him?" And so then the young girl's like, "Why am I here?" And the old lady's like, "We are bound together."
Okay, you know the Zardoz voice.
The lady's like, "Listen, you came to me."
Yeah, you came. So strange.
Demanding breakfast sausage.
So strange. And then we just cut away from that. Yeah. Like now we don't really ever come back to that storyline of the two of them as a buddy cop team.
All of a sudden they just accept.
When they steal the boat later on.
They just steal a boat.
Well, they're the final scene, standing there firing cartoon beams out of the Silver Cross.
Yes.
Meanwhile, there's all these zombies, and
meanwhile
they didn't,
there's a play going on.
Yeah, there's another weird.
Which is getting a lot of press coverage.
I thought this was like Superstar. I was like, this is really like a big thing. And then, nope, it's just a passion
play. Well, that's funny, because they said that the younger priest has nothing to do with anything.
Nope.
Yeah, there is a younger priest. Let's say.
Four or five scenes and really doesn't.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I think it's very important for the sake of lack of confusion. There is a scene earlier where the old lady goes to a church and a different priest. I do believe it's the priest that baptized Andrew when he was a baby.
Yeah.
A different priest gets into a conversation with her about her brother, and it establishes that her brother he said, no, your brother was a murderer. He was insane. He went to jail. And she said, no, he was a good man and he was an angel. And he's like, oh, this is why I can't talk to you anymore, because you keep going down this crazy tangent. This is our little introduction to this middle-aged priest who's not really important to the plot except to establish that.
If something happened afterwards and he's like, oh, my God, you're right, and then helped to stop it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but.
Nope.
No.
Doesn't happen.
In fact, during the zombie apocalypse, he just kind of walks like dejected, and the zombies ignore him joke.
He walks like Charlie Brown, like, oh, that lady was right. Yep. Sad.
My kite got stuck in a tree. Yeah. Oh, brother.
So now it's like
the dream sequence yet?
Oh, when she gets raped in her dream.
I don't think that's a dream sequence.
Well, they imply that it could be.
Well, that
like
was before
like
she went.
Or something.
That was before she went to
it was
the old lady's house.
Really,
this
guy does. This Andrew does a lot of shaking.
He also.
Yeah, I know.
He also kills a dog and drinks his blood.
This is the crazy thing about this movie is like your hero girl in a horror movie has no lines. Andrew has almost no lines.
Andrew is like the protagonist in the movie and the antagonist in the movie. Like who would be the protagonist besides him? The old lady who
I guess
doesn't have.
I think it's the
plays
father.
Plays almost no role in what ends up happening.
I think it's the father who has the character arc, because he's the one who goes to the bar, gets drunk, says his son's the devil, and then resigns himself to shoot himself and his wife, who is now covered with cobwebs.
Why is his wife still
and
alive?
And is locked in the basement.
You also kind of sound so. He doesn't just go to a bar and say, "My son is the devil." He goes to a bar and for like 5 minutes, like, "My son is the devil."
The guy next to him, "My son's the devil." He's like, "Ah, you told me about him. My son took the car keys the other day, you know." And this guy's like, "My son's the devil." Wait a minute, buddy. Okay.
And he didn't even have like a drink yet.
Yeah.
It's like, God, save that for like 5 drinks in at least. Right? Everyone else is
I love
drunk.
The shot where they throw him on the jukebox too.
Listen to some Elvis.
Did Sympathy for the Devil start playing when he hit the jukebox? I wasn't sure if they had they needed an extra musical oomph on that scene.
That would have worked, right?
I think we went by what is gotta be the most disturbing scene in this movie and most pointless scene in the movie, when we find out that Vinnie Barbarino has a gun.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, God. This is deranged almost. That feels uncomfortable. Oh,
yeah. Does it look like a condom?
Tampon. He pulls it out, and his girlfriend. First of all,
why does he have it?
It's like
they never
prom
show him
night,
buying
right?
it.
Or using it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, he never uses it.
He uses it.
Well, he pulls out this gun, and his girlfriend's like, "What's that?" And he's like, "What does it look like? A tampon?" What? What gun looks like a? I don't even get.
To be fair, though, who when they see a gun says, "What's that?"
Yeah. Well, also true.
I mean, you say something stupid, you get a stupid response.
And you do get implied that a loaded gun is then put into his.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And she's liking it. Like, she's like, "That's not loaded, is it, Charlie?" Or whatever his name is.
And Vinnie Barbarino's like, "Actually, watch out for the trigger."
Watch out for the trigger, baby.
Be careful. It might be.
That is messed up.
This is hot, but.
And before he does this to her, he puts it to her face and threatens her with it.
Yeah.
This woman that he's punched, and he's belittled her in front of his friends, and now she's still dating him, and he points a gun at her for no reason at all, and then threatens to kill her. And then pleasures her with it.
And he's arguably the character who gets the most screen time. Like, Cody's right. Based on screen time, he's the protagonist. Yeah. Worst protagonist ever.
He's offering Andrew drugs.
We didn't talk about that because that comes in play in the end. He offers him drugs and says, you know, "You're not worried about growing tits from this, are you?"
Yeah. Now, make a grow of all the things to have come,
because it'd be cool if you
grew
tits.
Then he makes fun of his wife, his
girlfriend for being flat-chested, even though we just saw that she wasn't the scene before.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. He's terrible.
Yeah, he's clearly making a play for Andrew.
Yeah. Definitely, well, he made a very clear move.
I know.
Well, and now to get to the finale a little bit, the kids all end up at Bolt Castle.
Well, yeah, because it's like prom
night. Passion play, but it's also prom night. Like, so, two big events are going on at the same time.
What kicks off prom night more than seeing Jesus crucified?
They go to...
Yeah, let's drink!
They go to, like, the harbor or whatever and steal a boat. And
they go to Bolt Castle.
I did think it was kind of funny, the way that they get the kids... that the kids have to go to Bolt Castle because they're like partying at some bar and they get kicked out, like a fight starts breaking out.
So they
have to leave, but they couldn't think of anything good. So apparently the incident that caused them to leave the party was somebody took a piss on somebody else's shoes,
What? It was Vinny. Vinny took a piss on.
A guy pissed on Vinny.
A guy
who stopped my shoes. Guy's like, I couldn't help it or something.
It was dark in there.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah.
There's some behind the scenes. There was some weird stuff going on here.
I wonder if there were scenes cut from this movie that would have made it more.
I mean, if I said to you, hey, we need to find a way to get these kids from their party to Bolt Castle, like some guy was like, oh yeah, no, just have a fight break out because someone took a piss on someone else's shoes.
So they go to the castle.
Yeah, they have the most roundabout ways to move the plot along. Like, let's use a cake for a light and drop it to start the fight, and then the wife getting vegetarian.
Let's have the Inquisitor torture the priest to establish he's in prison.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so
They go to the Bolt Castle and they start partying or whatever, and they all break off into their own little groups and are making out with their girlfriends or whatever. At the same time, the old woman and the young girl also steal another boat that magically appears because they stole the boat, and then they come back, there's another boat there, they steal that one.
Yeah,
yeah, but they got arrested at first, though, right?
There's a pointless
the guy recognized
her as
a missing girl, and then they arrest him.
But then she comes back. Is that the guy who's like the ridiculous Italian stereotype who's like, hey, you're that missing a girl.
Yeah,
And then they go to the Passion. That's when all this stuff happens at the play. All the people start bleeding there because then they get away from the cop car to get back to steal the
And then the actor who plays Jesus really dies on the cross.
Yeah, we're skipping over that whole play thing because it really had nothing to do with anything.
It had nothing to do with anything.
Just for some...
In a movie where nothing has anything to do with anything, that was especially detached.
And they stayed on that one shot so long when they were showing the play at the Last Supper. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I thought they were going to pull the old... Because I know in a lot of old movies about Jesus, they only show like the back of his head. And the opening shot, it was just the back of his head. And I was like, are they doing one of
those? I do say that. I have a note here. I'm like, wow, this Passion play is in real time. Thanks.
They keep cutting back just in real time as the play's going on.
So at the same time, Andrew is like summoning zombies out of the ground at Bolt Castle.
Lucifer.
Beelzebub. Arise. Arise.
And so,
why was he talking like that at the end of the movie?
So a bunch of zombies come out of the ground with like two picks
and
shovels and they have lunch
boxes. Now this was an interesting callback because there's one shot of the Uncle Sam's tour boat at the beginning of the movie, and he says the mysterious Baron such and such worked the staff who built this castle to death. They're buried on the island.
Buried with their lunch boxes.
Now why didn't he use these zombies to attack the priest at the beginning of the movie when he's cornered by the tree?
I don't know.
Well, was he incapable of shaking enough?
He was
enough?
Too busy focusing on his choreography.
About that before where the producer, one of the guys, down. Remember we were talking about that? One of the people put the money up said you have to have zombies in.
Yeah, because they were like big at the time.
So they had like they had just
the Dawn of the Dead or whatever?
Which was the best part of the movie for me.
That was the freaking worst
part.
Zombies coming out of the ground.
Zombies coming out of the ground is cool, but it doesn't make any sense to this film.
Yeah.
They should have established it earlier. That it makes sense. Okay, devil power can raise the dead, but...
Just like guys with Cheerios stuck to their face. Not even like interesting zombies.
I did want to say, too, and next time you watch this, when everyone's fleeing... Tonight. As you watch it in your car driving home, when everyone's fleeing the Passion Play... There's a shot where, like, a bunch of people... Somebody's trying to scale a fence in the background of a shot.
Yeah.
And this is not intended. Somebody's trying to... And fails and just slides back down. And it's not... I don't know why they left it in. But it's not... Did not go right. And it's very, very funny. I'm imagining that actor probably to this day is like, oh, God. Thanks a lot, editors.
Yep. That was my worst stuff. No, looks good. Yeah.
So...
Go ahead. You're going to talk about
zombies attack people.
But they attack people in the lamest way, too. Yeah. It's like there's no tension or anything.
No.
And they actually just run by them, the two women who are going to save the day and stop the devil in a very much the same way as the zombies in the movie. They just walk by the zombies. They're non-threat.
Right.
They're just literally there.
How do the people... the Bolt Castle Island is like really small.
It only holds the castle.
How did the teenagers? Because like teenagers are caught completely unaware.
They didn't realize.
Are completely unaware that
there's
zombies on the island because they're like making out and they sneak up on them. How do they not hear like Andrew going, hey, come on to the ground? He's shouting from the balcony as loud as he can.
Yeah.
I want that to be my alarm ringtone on my phone.
Rise, rise, rise.
So but anyway, Vinnie Barbarino's girlfriend gets it.
Well,
he
like leaves
her.
Her
no, he abandons her and then grabs asshole. Another chick. Come on, Donna, we gotta go.
Too, where he said, "I'll always be with you. I'll always protect." He said something like that just before.
Yeah.
They went with the little joke where he's like, "You think I'm gonna let some guy's old hands get all over you?" Yeah, and then of course, hand comes from the ground and touches her.
So he leaves her. Then he runs in the castle. No, he finds the other chick. There's one chick.
There's another chick.
I mean, it's not like he has a gun to shoot them with, right?
Yeah. Possibly.
It's another one of the girls wearing the same jacket.
It's a random trick.
Yeah.
So,
I think actually it's the girl. It's the girl who got cracked in the head.
She's like, a very minor character. What? It was just like
there. Yeah. Why was she like one of the last survivors?
Yes. And another thing too is she's his sacrifice. It's like that's a random sacrifice, isn't it?
Just shouldn't it be the young girl? Shouldn't it be the girl in white?
Right. That's what I was thinking. Well, should it be her? It was like, I just picked a random girl.
Nope. Just some random girl who we don't even know who she is. Is the crux now of this movie.
But they
what?
Vinnie Barbarino and the girl in the room.
A fantastic
scene. I was wondering why there was a mirror in the room when I was watching it. Like, why is there just a mirror in this room?
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, like the devil comes in or something and doesn't he is that
he recognizes him as Andrew even though his face is a little messed up,
right? He's got some hair gel.
Yep.
He's got some makeup on.
And he's wearing absolutely nothing but like a Dracula cape.
Yeah.
And he's posing like Dr. Frankenfurter.
Yeah, he's posing, yeah.
And I can't remember, does he kiss him first or no? Because at one point, Vinnie Barbarino turns around and like looks in the mirror and like unbuttons his shirt and opens his shirt.
And he's got a fabulous set.
He's got a nice rack.
He's got a rack.
And he's like,
I would have been like, hey, cool.
That's right, Andrew.
What I love his reaction, because he's like,
I don't need to date anyone again.
I got everything I need right here.
Man. I'm not going out of basically, he's basically saying like, hey, I was cool with these zombies, but what? Oh, not these boobs.
And then he decides to kamikaze.
Yeah.
Why did they kiss again?
No.
And it looked, did the guy initiate the kiss with Andrew? Like, no, did
I think
he
Andrew
want
kissed,
to do that? Andrew?
I think this time Andrew initiated it.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
But it almost looked, in that case, it was almost like Andrew incepted the kid to kiss him. Because it didn't look like the devil went in for the kiss. To me, it didn't look like that.
I didn't know why this was happening. Like,
how many times
Jack? Why were they kissing again?
This is the second time I've seen this.
Now, how many times you watched
the scene?
Did not freeze frame it, but I didn't need to. It was all right there.
Then
stab himself yelling F you over and over again.
F you, basically like saying, well, I'm not going to give you the pleasure of killing me, so I'm going to kill myself. Like, it's a kamikaze, I think.
Right.
So
this like, boobs thing is a bridge too far, Lucifer. That's it.
Well, I think they're implying that he's a homophobe. And that perhaps
I think they're more than
he's
such, that.
Perhaps he's such a womanizer because he's actually gay and he hates himself for it.
And
when he gets the boobs, this attacks his pride
it's
and he
horror,
can't handle it, so he stabs.
Moving on.
The crazy part is like I think Jack is right, but like it's also lost in the craziness of this movie.
Yeah.
So basically, this movie had the exact. This movie was American Beauty if there were zombies and a devil.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
And about 10 times worse.
The old lady, the angels show up and they chase the devil down.
Down the same tree.
They basically shot these scenes probably on the same day.
Yeah.
And it's still a lot of him running around
a lot of
posing and going like, ah.
And he does the thing that Brian was saying where they're chasing him and then they look up and he's up in a window and he goes, ah!
It's a little bit of like what I call like Scooby doing where like he pops out of one thing and they're like, oh, there he is, you know?
So
I was just waiting for one of those scenes where you get a long shot of a corridor or doors, and you see like one go through a door, then the other follow, and then they start going from door to door.
Yeah.
So they chase him down, and they do some, I don't know, they have the staff.
Same
they
tree.
Have the staff of Ra.
The same tree.
Something.
They have the silver staff.
And a bunch of light comes out.
Well, yeah, I can't remember now, but he's doing the sacrifice.
Oh, that's right. He's sacrificing the extra.
So he's got zombies all around.
But
and
where are they now?
Just show up, and he starts running, right?
I remember.
Yes.
Where are zombies to help him?
Zombies are gone,
what's the
right?
point of the zombie horde except to be his muscle?
I don't know.
They just wanted to attack those teenagers.
Yeah, gone. Yeah.
The end
they
of
ran
the
off those tub. Kids and then returned to their graves.
The end of this made no sense to me.
Right,
because
then they get him, and they say the Lord's Prayer, right?
Yeah, they just say,
and they force him to say
him,
it.
And then he
and deliver us from evil. And he's like shaking.
Not me!
I was promised!
And then he dies.
Yeah, then he dies in a bunch of...
No, because he breaks the old lady's neck. Somehow he interrupts the ceremony. Like, something
that's
interrupts
right.
the ceremony, and she has to finish the ceremony, kind of like Father Karras
right.
in The Exorcist, where Father Marin dies and he has to finish the ceremony.
Except she doesn't really die.
Well, does
she? I don't. Well, and the young girl
cracks her neck and then throws her. And then at the end of the movie, the girl in white stands like looking up at the sky, and all three of them are superimposed, which makes less sense because two of them are now dead. Shouldn't they be reborn first? Isn't it supposed to be all three of them in the flesh, on the land, taken on the fleshborn Dracula? Dracula, the devil. He looks like Dracula.
And he sounds like Dracula too.
Yeah.
I think that's what they said in the beginning.
I want to suck your blood.
I don't understand. I just don't understand what happened at the end here at all. Yeah. Like, yeah,
the important part is that it ended.
And they wrote a song called "Fear No Evil."
Oh, and
no
cartoon
evil.
Fireworks do come out of like this staff that she's holding. Like, and when I say cartoon, I mean like. Cartoon, like rotoscoped cartoons.
Yeah, they drew like lasers on it and stuff. Yeah, to make it look like it's the power of God.
And then the movie.
Does this mean he's going to be reborn again?
No, I think they destroyed the devil.
They destroyed the devil finally.
Yeah. I hope so. So we don't get Fear No Evil 2. Fear No Evil 2, the khakis are back.
Oh no.
Who was ruling hell when Lucifer was taking algebra classes and.
Oh, good point.
New York.
Well, the Beelzebub and the Leviathan.
And apparently doing very well because we get that also that weird scene
with
the guidance counselor.
Yeah, you got accepted to Harvard, Yale, and Columbia.
Yeah, you can get into college. Yeah. And I was like, I kept waiting for that to come back too. And
why aren't you excited? I'm not
Fear No Evil
2. Today.
The devil goes to college.
Yep. Of course, he's like 70 when he goes to college.
So
I do like this poster. Let me just say. It's like the yearbook photo is burning and the kid's face is all angry. Actually,
I don't know if that's not the original poster. That's
an
Anchor
Bay.
I think
that's
an Anchor
Bay, but it is pretty good though.
Yeah.
Though it's not what the
movie's
about.
Why would he pick that picture for his yearbook photo?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Well, because that's what he does.
Trying to give it away, doesn't it?
My eyes are glowing there.
Can we retake that? I can do better.
Can he make the photographer say, "Get him, get him," and then beat the kid to death with a light stand?
I need more than red eye reduction. I need like.
Yeah. I would have loved to see that kid's senior pictures. Like, all right, we're gonna go to the castle now. Pose against the wall. Look
he's
sexy.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Say ah.
Say it
now
again.
Let's go up to the
balcony.
I'll be on the bottom. Look very scary. Good job, Andrew.
Hold the cape over the khakis.
Let's see some sassy. Now
bring some more cakes in here. We need more cakes for better light.
Let's take that shirt right off.
That should be the new standard from light power. How bright is that light? Oh, I don't know, about 2K, 2K, 2,000 cakes, 2,000 cake power.
We're going to need 2Ks. Kilowatts? No, cakes.
Yeah. Oh. 1,000 foot cakes.
All right, to sum this one up, we'll do the, is it, I don't have a so wrong it's right, because no one's seen this movie, so. No.
I'll be honest, when I first heard we were doing Fear No Evil, I thought it was that movie that wrestler Kane did.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago, but I guess that's like See No Evil.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, another thing, I was looking up the director, he's only done three things. But the second movie he did is
good.
one of my like all-time underrated movies of all time, Lady in White.
Yeah.
Which is a
see
great
that.
Movie.
That's really good.
It's actually a legitimately good ghost story movie.
It's really good.
Yeah. I need to see that. But, I don't know if you know this, part of that was shot in the Syracuse airport.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Apparently the opening scene at that airport is Syracuse airport.
Oh. Last time I saw it, I wasn't
so what was
here,
the third
so
movie?
I realized that. Yeah. Some straight to video, but I was surprised that it was The Lady in White, because this was so bad, and Lady in the White is actually a competently made movie.
Yeah.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
And then end somewhere. And for him, that happened pretty fast. That circle was completed.
That's the thing. That's what's so weird. He did this crappy movie, then he did a good movie, and then he did like a straight to video, I'm sure crappy movie, and then that was it for
just
him.
Just a flash in the pan.
Yeah. It's just a good old
You've seen
everyone.
Two-thirds of this guy's work now, Ryan.
Yeah, I know. I might as well see the last one.
I've never seen the other movie.
All right, the third one's like about some murdering girlfriend and her mom and the kids trying to go to college. So I'm wondering if maybe it's just like a
unofficial sequel. Yeah, he's got a lot of real issues with parents and college. Like senior year in high school has a lot of issues for him, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Is it so bad it's good?
Yes.
Andy, we're going to start with you.
Yes.
Is it so bad it's good for you, or do you actually legitimately like the movie?
No, it's so bad it's good. I watch it because, like I said, the Bolt Castle stuff. Okay. And some, like, there's some fun stuff in it. I love when he kills a dog and he's just shaking like crazy and drops his head on the table. And then he just drops his head on the dog and like, sits there and screams.
It is. This movie it's is.
A great scene.
If you're if you're someone who likes the idea of overacting, like this movie will be your cup of tea.
Now, are these local actors? Are these actors from the Rochester area?
I have to think some of them were. Some of them have done, have other, I looked at a lot of their IMDb credits, and some of them have extensive credits, but some of them had to be local. I mean, there's, you know, there's no way.
I mean, it is, for like I was watching the credits, and they, you know, all, it's all like local stuff. It's all the Rochester TV stations got thank yous and stuff like that, and this is like, and...
Is it so bad it's good for you, Jeff?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Just for the Vinny character's death scene alone, and the dodgeball scene. He's probably the two favorite scenes.
And
my
the
two
birthday
favorite
cake scene.
And the birthday cake scene.
Well, that's the thing. I would watch individual scenes again. Yeah. Like, those scenes I thought were hilarious. I don't think I could watch the movie as a whole again.
No?
I mean, there was just, like, the middle portion of the movie, like, nothing happened.
It does drag. Yeah, and you literally see a passion play in real time. Like, the whole passion play for
no
purpose.
This movie could have been an hour, really.
Yep.
Could have been, like, an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah. A very weird episode of Tales from the Crypt, but yeah. Cody, what do you think?
I think if the whole movie was him in the high school, that would have been better, but just... All the stuff with the old lady and the girl and the angel stuff was just like,
it's that stuff's a little, hard to see.
Yeah.
So you may fear no evil, but don't see no evil.
Hey-o!
Don't see.
Which is also a movie, but.
No, I say see no. I see no.
What?
I say see fear no evil. For fun.
Stop the movie.
Put that on the box.
Yeah.
See fear no evil. Dot dot dot. For fun.
Put that on the box.
Great review. All right, I think that's gonna bring this one to a close. We will be back. As always, if you get a chance, leave us a review on iTunes. We appreciate those. They help in that crazy Apple algorithm. And we'll be back next time. Thanks. Bye.